Thank you. Children, you may go. What a bummer, though. I really like kids. They will always, always make you laugh. They'll make you cry. They'll make you worry. But they're good. I love children. Well, praise God. I am so thankful that I am here. I have the privilege of sharing. There we go. I love God's word. Amen? I think that's part of the reason why we're here. And I love this church. I really do. I can't tell you how excited my wife and I are to be here and be a part of this congregation. Let me pray before I get started. Lord, Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you. God, I ask that you would use me as a conduit to teach your word this morning. I pray that, including mine, but that our ears would be open, our hearts would be ready to receive, and our spirits would take this word and move forward in the things that you have for us. We give you thanks and praise. God, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is none greater than you. And we thank you that you are not just our King, you are not just our God, but you're our Father, and you desire good things for us. Praise you, God. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 I'm just thinking of the song that we were singing, and I wrote it down because I don't remember. I can't never remember the words to any songs, honest. There's one song I know the words to all the way through, and it's only because I was trying out for a band when I was like 20 years old, and I had to learn the songs and the lyrics and stuff, and so, you know, that's it. The rest of the songs, I just know pieces here and there, you know. But it says, Spirit, break out. Break down our walls and heaven come down. And it really, how many of you seen the movie The Titans? The Titans? You guys haven't really seen? It's a football movie where the it's blacks against whites, right? It was in the 60s, was it? When they were bringing black students into white church, white schools. And there was a rift. They've always been taught that there's something different about the black people. And the black people are mad because the white people don't like them. And so the wisdom of this coach takes them all out to a place where they are isolated from the outside world. And they work it. They keep pushing it, and there's trials, there's stubbornness, there's anger, there's frustration. I mean, it's a hot place, right? And finally, one of the kids gets it, one of the leaders, and he begins to change his attitude. And the next thing you know, it's a breakout. It's dancing, these guys are having fun, they love each other. There's no difference. They realize there's no difference between black and white. There's just a difference in their culture. And that's really it. Right? And so there is this time that they spend, and then they come back and everybody's looking at them going, what'd you do to my kids? They're laughing, they're hanging out together, they're talking. And then they go into the school, back into the world. And they see this, and it kind of comes to a place where it looks like it's falling apart. And the kids come together because they have learned from their coach what to do. And they change everything. And they become successful. And that's the kind of thing that I want to share this morning. It's kind of like that, but it really is. I think about the music that they begin to play, and they're all dancing, they're all laughing at each other, and they laugh at their different idiosyncrasies, but they're getting along. They're beginning to know each other in a more intimate way, not just, you know, you who you are, who you are, and I am who I am. And these guys built long life relationships. They became brothers, and that's kind of what we need to be in the church. And Pastor Mark has heard from God, and what he is leading to, and he's talked about it, are home groups. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about today. I have been given the assignment, well, actually, I chose the assignment of kindness because I personally believe, I've been taught many, many years ago, to preach what you know. And kindness is where my wife and I live. So let's start with Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This is what Pastor Mark has been preaching. But the fruit of the Spirit is, doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. It's not good if you just have one, right? It's around, it's everything together. The Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. There's no moral law. These are all talking about morality. How you walk, your love, your joy, your peace. This is morality. You walk in this, there is no law, because you are already fulfilling what God has originally planned us to be. Does that make sense? Okay. Kindness is easy, good, loving, benevolent, gracious, and gentleness. That's the definition of kindness. Okay? This is what kindness should look like. But we have to get to a place that we are walking in it, right? It's not enough to know it. We have to be it. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. It's not just enough for us to get saved. That is not God's intention. God's intention is for us to be right with him, but it is more than that. Turn from evil and do good. The word is very clear that he wants us to do. He wants us to be actively involved in what he is presenting. So we must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Pursuing something takes a lot of time and effort. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now that scripture, really what I wanted to, my point is we need to turn away from evil and do good. Here's another thing. It's just not enough to come to church every Sunday. Okay? I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is free. It's a free gift. God's grace and mercy gave that to us. But if somebody gives you a brand new car, you want to take care of it, don't you? You're going to drive it. You're going to put gas in it. You're going to take care of the oil changes. You're going to make sure that you take care of that gift. God wants us to take care of the gift that he has given us. And it may not necessarily mean that we keep it to ourselves. We've given vehicles away before. It's a pretty awesome feeling. It's pretty wild. Especially when the people go, "You mean you're just giving it to us? You don't want no money?" No, it's just yours. Just sign the title over, it's all yours. They're like, they freak out. It's pretty cool. It's a nice place to be. It's a nice place to be. 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is going to be the focus of my sermon this morning. It's very cool. I like it. I hope you will. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Christ Jesus." He's a bondservant. He's a slave, but he's a slave to Christ because he chooses to. Okay? They had in those days, if you were a servant, you had so many years that you had to serve, and when that time was up, if you loved your master, if you were happy where you were, you could choose to stay a slave, a servant to your master. And many of them did, who were happy with how they were treated. So Peter is a bondservant because he loves Christ. He's thankful for what God did. And so he's a bondservant and apostle. "To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." To those who received faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross, went to hell, was there for 3 days, he rose again with resurrection power. That's their faith. That's the whole crux of the faith of what Jesus did. He took our sins, he nailed them to the cross, he paid our debt. When we sin, we are building up debt. It's very similar to breaking the law. You have to pay a debt for the sins that you've committed. If you speed, then you get caught, you got to pay for your tickets, right? There's a cost. When we sin, we are building up debt. A debt that we can't pay, though. There's no way that we can pay for that. There's nothing I could do to cover my sin, to make my sin go away. None of my good deeds that I do the rest of my life would cover for any sin that I've committed before. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. So those who have received the same kind of faith as ours, okay, then verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace be multiplied. Peter is praying that grace and peace be multiplied to us, those who have faith, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of God, of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for these reasons, for everything that was just spoken, that if you have the same kind of faith that Peter had and the apostles and those who loved Christ and made him Lord over their lives, grace and peace be multiplied to you. And seeing that the divine power that has granted everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. For he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises. Right? So for these reasons, we're going to go in this direction. In verse 5, it says, now for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Amen? So I'm presenting to you today, this is the scripture that I am focusing on today. And I am presenting this to you for your consideration. That the word speaks just a little bit different than how I just read it. I'm not changing the word. I feel like I am applying the word the way it was meant to be. And I think you'll agree with me when I begin. So it says, for this reason also, applying all diligence. So what does diligence mean? The word for diligence is steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Persevering application, the attention and care legally expected or required of a person. That's diligence. How many of you want to go to a doctor because you're sick, there's really something wrong with you, and the doctor says, I don't know what's wrong with you. Take some of these and see if this works. If it doesn't, come back and see me, and I've got something else that I can give you. Right? And then you go home and you go, why did I go? What did I go for? You want somebody to put a roof on your house. You don't want the guy coming up and saying, well, you know, I've done a few roofs. You know, when we've had problems or leaks, we come back and fix them. You know, we guarantee that. Or you have a guy that says, this is what your house is. This is what the roof looks like. This is what you need here. This is what you need over here. And we've done hundreds of roofs, and we never have to go back and fix a problem. We never have any leaks. Right? So it's diligence. It's diligence. It's a steady, earnest, energetic effort. So the word is saying apply all diligence. All of your effort, all of your honest effort, persevering application, continuing, not stopping. Apply all of your diligence to your faith. And here's the word I'm going to change. It says supply moral excellence. For your consideration, change that word supply to produces. If I apply all of my diligence to the faith I have in Christ, that is going to produce moral excellence in my life. How do I know that? Because it says right here. It says, see, it goes and says, and in your moral excellence. It's yours. You begin to do it. You begin to practice it. It becomes who you are. It's yours. But you need to apply all diligence and supply, and that will supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, I'd have to say applying all diligence in your moral excellence. That will produce knowledge. And apply all diligence to your knowledge produces self-control. You apply all diligence to your self-control, and that produces perseverance. It's progressive. It just keeps going. And I've been doing this for 20 years. It never stops until the day I die. When this flesh is buried in 6 feet under, I'll be in the presence of God. I'll be praising and worshiping Him forever. That's what we do. That's what the Word says. Can I get an amen? So applying all diligence to your perseverance, it'll produce godliness. And in your godliness, I'm not saying it makes us gods. It makes us God-like. And what does the Word say? Imitate me as I imitate God. We are children of God. We're supposed to look like God. We're supposed to smell like God. We're supposed to taste like God. We're supposed to speak like God. Amen? Now ask my wife, do I do that? No. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I got to work it out. I have to apply all diligence. I can tell you when I start applying what I know, my mouth changes, my attitude changes. Amen? But I have to apply it. I have to be the one to take responsibility and step out and do it. Amen? And in your godliness will produce brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Amen? So now I gave you the definition of kindness. It's easy, good, loving, benevolent, gracious, and gentleness. But let's take the word benevolent. Benevolent means organized to do good things for other people. Interesting. So how do we get about doing that? Well, Mark and the teens were out doing that yesterday. It was an organization. They had organized, and they are helping those in need. Now, that takes time. That takes effort. That takes planning. That takes diligence. One person could not do that by themselves. It took a community of people to come together and make that happen. Amen? This is the kind of thing that Pastor Mark is talking about us coming together for home group. Because through the home group, that's when things begin to rock. That's when signs and wonders begin to take place in our lives. And I can say that because my wife and I are products of that. And that is how we live our lives. Now let's take the definition just a little bit further. The Greek word is krestomau, I think. It's Greek, so we'll figure it out. You tell me. It says to be adaptable or compliant. We're still talking about kindness. Right? It says be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. So kindness is not just being nice, soft-spoken, quiet. Hello? It's adapting and being compliant to the needs of others, which means we are diligent about going out of our way to help others. Amen? A willingness to serve and change to meet the needs of others. It is so important for us to get this. This is a place that we need to live. And I'm going to say, Fake it till you make it. Okay? How many of you who got married knew exactly what you were doing before you got married? You did? You knew what marriage life was going to be like. You're one of the few. I had not a clue my first time, my first go around. Now, I had some experience the first time, so the second time was way better than the first time. Amen? Right, babe? Now, is it perfect? No, it's not. We're human. We have problems. We have issues. We're different. I don't care about how things go. She cares about everything needs to be in order. So there's conflict there, you know? Do we have to be diligent to get along? And we all do. We're human. I'll say this with the church. And I was sharing with one of my brothers earlier that when we come to church, we need to think it's not for me. I'm coming because somebody else may need me. I have a gift, and if I'm not in church, it's not the same. You know, how would you feel if you woke up in the morning and your foot decided it wasn't going to work today? How are you going to get, you know, you wake up and your eyes, oh, I'm not going to work today. I'm not going to be here. You know, we are the body of Christ. We all need to be in our place. When I got saved, when I rededicated my life to Christ, that's when it started. I was single parenting my son and my daughter. They were 4 and 6. I had gotten out of the military. I was trying to work. Now I'm single parenting, so I understand, ladies, how this works. I couldn't work what I had worked before. I'd worked management and stuff. They call you all sorts of different hours of the night. I couldn't do that. So I had to try to find something that was going to make me money and not call me out all hours of the day and night. Well, I'm frustrated. I'm having a really hard time. I'm in the middle of divorce. I'm single parenting. I'm a wreck. And I've just rededicated my life to Christ. My life is a mess, right? I come to church. Steve and Terry were greeters at the door. Every time I would go to church, they were there. I would hug on him. Sometimes I'd be in a pretty good mood, but I gotta say, most of the time, I'd wrap my arms around him and I'd just start bawling. I was so frustrated. I was so lost. He didn't take me by the hand and say, come on, we'll go fix this problem. He just kept encouraging me. It's okay. It's gonna be fine. You're gonna get through this. You're gonna be okay, JD. It's all right, man. Just trust God. That encouragement that met me at the door every Sunday allowed me to be where I am today. And they had, I don't even know if they realized how important they were in my life, how much they helped me. During Christmas that same year, I'm working a job that's not paying any money. For 3 months in a row, I'm 3 to 4 months about ready to be evicted. Nobody from the church was giving me money to pay my bills. They just kept telling me to trust God, trust God. And it was like 4 days, and I was getting ready to be evicted. I came up with the rent. God blessed me, kept me going. But at Christmas time, I had nothing to give my kids, nothing. And in the home group, a couple, we had 5 children of their own, came to me a week before Christmas and say, hey, we got a couple of presents for your kids. We just want to make sure you're okay with us bringing them over. They knew my situation. We talked about it all the time. I was in the home group. They were ministering to me. They were encouraging me. They were telling me, it's okay. Keep going, man. You're going to be fine. God's going to take care of you. And I said, I started crying. I'm a very sensitive person. I started crying, you know, and I said, yeah, please. You know, I don't want my kids not to have a Christmas. They came over. They could barely fit the box through the door, and it was full of presents. I mean, they just blessed their socks off. Later on, as my wife and I grew in the church, we became stronger. We walked in the Lord. We were diligently applying the things of the Lord. We were growing. We were ministering. We were now facilitators of the group. A lady comes in. Now, you got to remember, this church was about 1,200 people. It was big. A lady comes to cell group or home group. Oh, I've met this guy, man. He's great, man. I think this is the guy I'm going to marry. She's going on and on. And we were all excited for her at first, you know. Well, who is this guy? And she tells us who he is. She's like, well, does he come to our church? And she said, oh, no, he doesn't come to our church. So, well, what church does he go to? Oh, he doesn't go to church. We immediately altered that home group to minister to this girl and let her know what the word says. It doesn't work being unequally yoked. We shared with her the word. We shared with her in love. We encouraged her. We let her know, you know, this is what God's word says. We want to be careful about who we get connected to. The following week, she comes back. I let them go. Kicked them out. I'm done. I'm not going down that road. I don't want to go down that road. Within the next year, she found the love of her life. George, he's a great guy. He is so perfect for her. And she loves him. And for years, she would come and tell us, thank you so much for setting me straight. Thank you so much for encouraging me. Thank you for letting me know what I was getting myself into. That's what's so great. It's not always about physical needs. Emotional. It could be physical. It could be financial. It could be just encouragement. But it's coming together, and now they know what my problems or my issues are, so they can help me. They can work with me. They can pray for me. They can encourage me. And when we do home group, that's how we become family. We come to church, we see each other, we chat for a few minutes, and we go out the door. But when we're in home group, it's a different style. It's a different life. In Acts, said they were breaking bread from house to house, right? They were in each other's house talking and sharing. They weren't partying. They were talking about the Word of God. They were teaching the Word of God. And this is how it grows. This is how we grow in God. But we need to be diligent about being kind. Through home groups, we did all sorts of outreach ministry. Man, it was... We lived down in the inner city for 5 years in Baltimore, and we had our group, our home group, all came together. They made a bunch of turkeys. We laid these tables out in front of the house on the street and fed the people on the street. It was awesome. It was incredible. Financially, we got nothing for it. But at the very end, this big guy, I mean, he was probably 6'2", 6'3", kind of like Alex, man. He was a tall boy, tall drink of water, rough face. He was a rough guy. He looked like, I wouldn't have wanted to met him in a dark alley, okay? And he was scary. Comes up, tears coming down his eyes. He says, if you hadn't made Thanksgiving dinner for us today, I wouldn't have gotten any. With tears coming down his eye. Big, rough guy. We were blown away. You know, that was awesome. And that was our blessing, right? That was our blessing. And there's nothing greater than those types of blessings. That's when the miracles, signs, and wonders begin to take place. When we're in each other's lives, when we're sharing the love of God, we're talking about the Word of God, we are demonstrating the Word of God. That's when things happen. That's when, in the book of Acts, that's when the church started growing. I mean, it just exploded. Because they were, wow, they care about us. And Pastor Mark is talking about when people come in from the outside, they should see that there is a level of love, community, family in our lives. And not only for each other, but for those coming in. Amen? And I'm not saying this against anybody here because this church does emanate love. Amen? So the diligence in applying all of these attributes will help us to get to where we're going. And I want to encourage you when we start these home groups, here's our biggest objection in the world today is I'm busy. I'm too busy. I've got this going on, that going on, this going on. I am telling you from experience, you set a time aside to do this, be a part of this, you will not regret it, and you will kiss busyness goodbye. Amen? So let's just read a couple of more scriptures here because it gets pretty heavy. It says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing," God is not expecting us to just come and sit and get saved and not do anything, not be a part of anything. He wants to see his increase in us grow. And we do that by getting together and sharing the Word of God. It says, "They render you neither useless nor unfruitful," which is what Pastor Mark is talking about, the fruits of the Spirit, right? It does not, it does not render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For if he who lacks these things, these qualities, is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. We forget where we came from. We think we've arrived. And we spend the rest of our life in the back seat, waiting for somebody else to do something. What is it in it? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you." Jesus died for all of mankind. Hello? Everybody. I don't care how bad or how good you think you are, Jesus died for all of us. But it is when we choose him, we choose to receive the gift he has given us, then that makes certain our calling. When we begin to press in, and this is following what we were just reading about being diligent about the aspects of growing in him. "Choosing you, for as long as you practice these things," that's where I said, fake it till you make it, right? I mean, how many of you, I got my driver's license to drive tractor trailer. I didn't know what I was doing. I just took the test. I passed the test and they handed me a permit. And then I had guys who were truck drivers, had been for many years, take me out on the road and drive. I had to practice. And I can remember, my first commercial driving. I'm white knuckling going down the highway, trying to pass other trucks, trying to pass people, you know, or they're passing me and the wind is blowing. And I mean, I was white knuckling. I mean, I was hanging onto that steering wheel for dear life. It's freaking me out. 6 months later, you know, experience. It was experience. I faked it until I made it, right? Trust me, I've been working with truck drivers. They do not hire somebody who's just graduated from school. You have to go out with another driver and spend time on the road with a professional. So we're faking it till we make it. When I got saved, all I knew was that God was God. Jesus was his son. He died on the cross for my sins. There was a heaven and a hell. And I hate to say it, even as a kid, I thought hell was going to be a party place. So I kind of was, you know, that's where I wanted to go. You know, I was going to go spend, you know, the rest of my life partying. But when I was in my 20s, it changed pretty quickly. I had a little bit more maturity. Hello? And a guy asked me, if you died today, where would you go? I said, heaven. He said, why? I said, because I'm a good guy. And I haven't killed anybody yet. Yet. I said, yet. There was times I wanted to, but I hadn't killed anybody yet. He says, well, you know, that's not what the Bible says. And it stopped me dead in my tracks. I was like, what do you mean that's not what the Bible says? And he began to share with me what the Word says. I spent the rest of the afternoon going, oh my God, I got to get saved. Oh my God. And he invited me over to his house for supper that night, breaking bread house to house. And I was going over there. I wasn't going over there to have supper. I was going over there because I need to get saved. I knew I didn't want to go to hell. I knew it wasn't a pleasant place. Amen? So, these things, if you follow, see, if you practice these things, you will never stumble. You will never turn your back on God. Now, we're human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. The Bible says so. He says there's an advocate in heaven. Ask for him for forgiveness, and he will be just and forgive you. Amen? For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Wow. And this is following the scripture that says, be diligent about your walk with God. Be diligent about the gifts that he has given you. Amen? So, in James, this is just to throw out, James 4:17 says, to do the right thing and you don't do it, sin. We picture sin as, you know, coveting, stealing, lying, cussing, stuff like that. To know the right thing and not to do it, God considers sin. Wow. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? But that's his word. God wants us to be like him. Can I get an amen? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine. I got saved, walked with God for a couple of years, backslid for 5. I can even remember being in bars and the subject of Christians would come up. I'd lay my head down low and I'd say, oh my gosh, I used to be one of them. I was so sad. I was missing God. Somebody invited me to church. Wasn't so much anything that was said in the sermon, but I was in the house of God, and I can remember sitting there in the seat, and I was looking around, and I just said, God, I need to get back to you. I really do. please help me. Within a year, I was down in Baltimore at the Rock City Church, sitting in a church service, bawling my eyes out because the presence of God was so strong. I had so missed it. And it still took me some time. It took me about 4 or 5 months before I finally rededicated my life to Christ and been running after him ever since. God has blessed our socks off. Amen. But I'm going to say this. That song that we have been singing quite a bit, it says, I called and you answered. I called God many, many times, and he answered me through you. God didn't come down and go, okay, you're taken care of. Okay, you're taken care of. God answers our prayers through each other. We are somebody's answer to prayer. But if we're not diligent about doing what God wants us to do, we're going to miss it. Can I get an amen? I called, you answered. You came to my rescue. I want to be where you are. That's where my wife and I live. We want to be where God is. And I'm telling you, Pastor Mark has got he's got his fingers on what God is wanting us to do. And my wife and I are both submitted to Pastor Mark, no matter what we've done in our past. We're submitted to him, and we want to be a part of everything he's got going on, because God's moving in this place. But it's going to take some diligence. The steady, earnest, and energetic effort. It takes time. And we need to take time out of our busy schedule. We need to make time. Mark made some time with the youth yesterday, man, and he got his socks blown off yesterday. Blessed. Blessed. Being part of the community, being part of what God is doing in the church. Amen. Pastor Al.
Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. It's not what you know as a Christian, it's who you are. It's what you do. Let's all stand to our feet, amen. Bible says we're known by our fruit. And as J.D. so admirably put it, fruit needs to be cultivated, needs to be worked. Every one of us must be diligent. God says, love one another. Sometimes that's the most difficult diligence you're going to work out. But when you understand that God loved us before we were lovable, then we work it out. Because once you experience the presence of the living God, nothing's the same. I know the walk that JD and Sherry have gone, we've known them for a couple years, like many years. They did not share out of some book they learned. This couple walks the walk. And that's all that God wants. So can we all get connected and really be diligent to build the body of Christ? Father, in Jesus' name, as we go our separate ways, we remain one in heart and one in spirit. We continue to lift up Pastor Mark and Melissa and the children and the family. We ask for your grace and mercy to be upon them. And we pray for this house and this body and this family as we go forward, that the four winds of Holy Spirit will blow freshness and life and fire upon each one in this room. Lord, let not this week be a normal week, but with diligence and with kindness and with the fruit of the Spirit being amplified in our lives. Holy Spirit, would you breathe on us the freshness of the Father? In Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. Don't forget, we need to move those chairs back there, and please greet someone before you leave. God bless you.